Welcome back to the program. Adam White, Scott Gallen, Brent Harvey, now Jake Nile for the next half hour talking all the news in AFL football. There's so much going on both on and off the field. Does it ever surprise you, Jake, with some of the things that all of a sudden just pop up that you have to report and analyse on?
Yeah, there's some things that have surprised me. I know Boomer's here, but I still to this day, I went through an exercise when I was leaving The Age where I ranked the stories that I'd covered as for size. And I reckon that the Essendon saga was the biggest, but I think that as a single moment, the Wayne Carey episode.
I got a bit scared then. I thought you had a story on
no,
me.
No,
this is not good.
No, I remember your. I remember when you were told you weren't playing on next year. That was a big moment. That was a big moment last year, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about the Wayne Carey stuff. Don't worry about that.
That wasn't so dramatic. No, but these off-field stories and the sort of things that a player can get mixed up in, or an AFL figure can get mixed up in, as per Tyrone Vickery and Jake King. That's one I haven't seen before in terms of the nature of the investigation and the charges that Jake King has got. So that's a new one. But players are always going to make mistakes, and players will do strange things, and officials, and, you know, who would have thought an AFL diversity officer would be, stood down after an incident like that in a local footy game? That was another unusual event.
What's your understanding?
But the one thing that isn't unusual, though, players now are having mental illness issues. That's now becoming normal, not normalised, but it's prevalent.
Oh, definitely. They're not happier, but people are coming forward. Like Jack said, it's good. It's good for football. It's good for the industry.
Yeah. Well, talking to people yesterday, it's interesting whether or not there's more detections and people feel more willing, or whether there is a greater prevalence of this happening. And the general view is it's both. Yeah.
Well, let's go through one story at a time. The Ty Vickery, Jake King issue. What can you tell us?
I think it's, look, to be honest, I think it's all pretty much as said, and we have to be legally a little bit careful here because Ty Vickery has not been charged. Jake King has been charged. Ty Vickery is in a restaurant with Roddy Inova, and there was a, Jake King, one way or another, appears to have gotten involved. And the police has come to that. I think we have to be a bit careful around Vickery in the sense that we don't know the exact nature of... He has assisted police, but we do not know the exact nature of what transpired between him and Jake King that has led to the charge.
Well, he was in business, and the allegation is the business partner may have put his hand in the till, and there was an issue.
I think the figure's 100 grand.
Vickery went to the police. Nothing really happened. So then...
Jake steps in.
He's a consultant in an industry where you can get results.
That's right.
And so maybe he went about it the wrong way.
Maybe went about it the wrong way, but I suppose to Vickery, what we don't know is to what degree did Vickery say, can you do this?
Yes.
And to what degree did Jake freelance? So that's probably where as far as Vickery goes.
Freelance. I like it.
That's probably the pertinent issue.
Yeah.
That will, as far as any legal repercussions.
He needs to be saying, I didn't know Jake's
going to
be
I didn't know Jake was going to, I didn't give riding instructions.
Yeah.
It gets down to it. If you're the jockey, who was instructed? Was he pulling the horse up or doing whatever he was doing, or was the... And we should put the word allegedly around a whole bunch of things too.
All right, let's move on to the next issue, which is Ali Fahour. And that kind of had a full stop put to it last night. Here is Ali Fahour as he left the Northern Football League tribunal.
In this time, I'll seek professional help for my behaviour. I've played this game for 29 years. It has given me everything. I have loved working for the AFL and running programs that have reached out to communities far and wide. AFL is the greatest game, and I'm forever grateful for the role it has played in my life. I want to thank all those who have offered me support over the past 10 years. I won't be making any further comment. Thank you.
So that was last night.
It's made it easy for the AFL.
Well, what's the go there? Do you reckon he fell on his sword, or was just explained, this is what you'll be doing?
I think the situation, the gravity of the situation was made aware to him. And, of course, people reach their own decisions, Scott. But
no, they don't.
But, well, they do, but they do in the full knowledge of what the alternatives are.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants to fight on, and there was a feeling that there was a reluctance to sack him.
Yeah, I
Gillon
heard
McLaughlin is a very loyal boss, but I think in the end, he's realised his best path back is to apologise, to say all the right things, to quit, to stand down, and then come back if he can show that everything's, that he's on the right path. He can get back into the AFL system. Mm. We see a number of people who have had suspensions, etc., who've come back, and
AFL is the king of letting people back in.
But you've got to play the game. Yeah. Sort of how it works, isn't it, Boomer, do you think? Or
Yeah, I do. I sort of agree with what Scott's saying too, though. I think, same as a retired player, the club gives them the opportunity to step aside before they get pushed off the off the walking plank.
You know, just an example that sprang to mind for you.
No. No, that's the way I see it as well. Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happened. But with his... with his job, he's diverse, works with all different types of groups, and I think it's the only thing that could possibly happen anyway, isn't it?
It had to happen. In the big picture, Jack, it's been a horrible time for the AFL. It's not their fault.
This past week.
Yeah, the employee goes and does this, but for everything they represent, it's been a train wreck.
It's been a train wreck, yeah, but they haven't, it's probably, with this one, I think for footy generally, some good is... may come out of it, in the sense of there's now a discussion about these big hits, king hits, even the bug incident, where people are looking at it, I think, a little bit differently now. Mm. I think that's something. Even Hawley, which was, I wouldn't call that a king hit. I think it was he knocked him out.
No, it certainly changed the landscape. Absolutely. Yeah. This whole week around Hawley. And I think the fact that Ali gave evidence for Basher Hawley gave the story, not that he's working for the AFL, he actually gave evidence on the Basher Hawley, and then it's only a week later and exactly the same thing, or not exactly the same thing, because I agree with you, I don't think Basher Hawley was the coward punch or the king hit, whatever you want to say, because he wasn't exactly looking at him. Then the bug incident happens, then Ali Fahua happens, it's all within 1 week or 7 days of each other, so it's huge news for... to happen within 7 days. Had it been spread out over 7 weeks.
And three incidents.
Yeah, had it been spread out over seven weeks, wouldn't have been like this.
And just a thing I ran with last night on Fox was just that the Fahua was advised by the AFL not to give a character statement on behalf of Basher Hawley. And he went ahead and did it. Now, he wasn't ordered not to do it. But Andrew Dillon, who is his line manager at the AFL, said, I don't think it's a good idea. And he still went ahead and did it, which is interesting.
It was amazing that he would then be involved in an incident.
What are the odds? And he's got unfortunately for him too, I suppose it's why he's got the life ban. He's got a couple of priors.
Hmm.
So, and the fact, as we discussed a couple of days ago, that the Northern Footy League, which I think, Boomer, that's your league, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's
correct.
Is it still pretty rough and ready out there?
No, we're talking about it this morning. It's all changed. And you might remember it a long time ago when it was.
It was Diamond Valley.
Diamond Valley Football League. And it was. There's no questioning that it was a little bit rough and tough. But it's cleaned up now. You go out there and you play football now, and that's what you get out of that league.
Has the video changed that? Because all these games are being videoed.
All the games are being filmed now, so they can go back. If something happens on the weekend, you can say, I want you to check this out. The umpires have got, it's sort of like the very start of trial by video at VFL or AFL, whenever it came out. It's very similar to what the Northern Footy League are doing now.
Did you think that that Bug got the right penalty?
What do you get? 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Yes, and I spoke about this morning as well. I'm big on a big suspension for the stuff off the ball. When you clearly make a decision to punch someone, you need to get a couple of more weeks added on, I think, where the other instance are where the ball is there. When the ball is there, you can make micro mistakes with where your arms are and you can get someone high. And I still think that you're Your intent is to go for the football. Yep. Sometimes you're bracing, your arms are up. So I think the stuff off the ball certainly needs to get treated a little bit more harshly than the stuff when the football is there.
I think Jimmy Boutel makes a really good point when he talks about football incidents and non-football incidents.
Yeah, correct.
And that's the good best way of differentiating between the two of them.
Yeah, where the football's there is a football incident. So you're going for the ball and you get someone high.
Yeah.
Or slide under them or whatever. Or you're...
Or even when
grappling off the ball and you belt someone.
Yeah, or even when the ball's 10 metres away and someone's coming to shepherd you, to block
you. How do you assess that with a really big bump to the head or something and someone's coming?
If someone's coming to you, they're running 25k towards you, you're running 25k towards them, you've got to brace. You have to brace. You're not just going to run and say, go on, you guys got the ball, you can get me, and get split down the middle. So you need to put your... You need to brace yourself, whether that's legs, arms, get ready for a good 50 kilometre.
I can see you bracing yourself permanently.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to do it. So I still think that's in play. And that's what I'm saying, stuff can happen. You don't want the arm up really high and clock someone in the head with an elbow straight to the head and concuss them. No, you don't want that. But you need to brace yourself, and that's when little incidents can happen. And that's what I'm saying. I still believe that's in play.
All right, we'll take a break. It's 12 to 8 and come back with more of Jake Nile from Fox Footy, from Fox Sports, with all the latest in AFL news.
Welcome aboard The Breakfast Club.
Him and I have had ongoing conversation around how to manage, you know, the external noise and deal with the pressures of the game. Obviously, he's a young man through circumstances who's become a high-profile player well before his time. Obviously due to, you know, the contract being a number one draft pick as well.
It is 8 to 8 on RSN Breakfast. Adam White, Scott Gallen, Brent Harvey and Jake Nile talking all the things in AFL footy. It's very hard to know how to talk about this individually because everyone has got a different set of circumstances to get to the point that Tom Boyd has. But what is your read on the Boyd situation and just in general about depression in AFL football?
Well, there's a few things. I think Tom Boyd, you look at the standout features of it, and he was a number one draft pick, which brings a bit of pressure. And then the money brings pressure and the expectation that he would be some sort of messiah. He played, it's interesting, he had this issue when he played in the finals and he actually played very, very well, of course. He was close to Norm Smith in the grand final.
Was the messiah.
Do you think he was best on the ground?
At the time, no. Watching the replay, yes.
He was certainly up there. Sense? He had the best game of his career in a grand final.
Unbelievable. That's why, and I mentioned this, you'd think then, because the Bulldogs would have known his personality and then this was bubbling along, that after that, I've won the flag, I've dominated, I can handle anything. Yeah, you think you're bulletproof, but
well, it was a bit quarantined though, Scott, because it was kept in the medico's hands, the club psychologist. That's where it sat. It didn't go to the football department. My understanding isn't really until very recently.
Well, they were probably
the players were told on Monday.
Yeah,
I believe his management was told on Monday.
Yeah.
So it was people might know that he had a few issues, but a lot of people do. That it's ended up with a clinical. I think one thing that was really good about this one was that there was a clinical diagnosis essentially aired of clinical depression rather than just saying mental illness. If you say mental illness, it can invite speculation. And I think that was apparently Tom Boyd's choice. And he didn't play on the weekend. He pulled out of the game. He'd coming back from a calf injury to play in the VFL. He pulled out because of this, not the injury.
Do you think that this will force the AFL to look at ways of trying to not overcome it? Because I don't think that'll ever happen, but the ways of potentially preventing others from falling into this headspace?
Well, it's come back from player feedback in the AFLPA that mental illness is very high on the list of priorities that players, right now, this is happening this year in their sessions with the Players Association, that it's right up there with things like transitioning out of your career, because most players, Boomer, as you know, don't go into their season thinking it's their last year. It's not when they were the age you were, but when they're 23 or 4 or 5, you don't go into the season thinking, I won't be playing next year. So that's another issue. But yeah, there's more pressures. We talk about social. I don't know that Tom Boyd was a huge, from what I gather, a huge social media consumer, but the pressure he was under was considerable. And, you know, you can say, well, he didn't have to take the money, but, you know, I don't think many people in that situation wouldn't.
Well, that's not really his fault, is it?
No, no.
Manager, a club wants him. His manager
club
does the deal.
Him. The club's made the offer. From what it was described to me, it wasn't one thing. It was an accumulation of quite a few things. I mean, you look at Jack Watts. Now, he's turned out, you know, things have turned out well for Jack Watts, but what he went through, the pressure on him as a number one draft pick at a poor club, and you also, the circumstances of the draft, how lucky you are to go to a certain club at a certain time. I've often wondered how, because I see them as somewhat similar players, how Jack Watts would have gone at Hawthorn if he'd gone there when Jack Gunston went to Hawthorn. So it's not just your situation. No, so much of this is in the lap of the gods. You went to North Melbourne at a great time.
Well,
in a successful
sliding,
team.
It's sliding doors, though, isn't it, really? Because you can go to a club that's like Jack Watts, use exactly the same example, goes to Hawthorn. No one goes near him because he's just a guy who plays on the halfback flank and dominates. Or he goes to Melbourne and has to play full forward and not get a kick for a couple of years.
And be played on Queen's birthday.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But you've got to remember, with this whole mental illness thing, we're using Tom Boyd here because he got a lot of money. He was number one draft pick. Everyone's a little bit different. You've got to remember, Alex Fasolo didn't leave for money.
That's right.
He wasn't the number one draft pick. So
he was dealing with pressure, though.
I think, Whitey, what you're alluding to maybe is there is starting to be a trend of happening. Should the AFL step in now and have a look at the structure of the training for each club? I think
I think that's one of the biggest...
How much of it's internal? How much of it's internal? The big question is, how much of it's external? So pressure from outside, which we're now focusing on at the moment, and how much of it is that, what Boomer you're talking about, that internally, what the coaches want of you, how your day is planned, how you have to, you know, peel the skin off your chicken or whatever it is you have to do.
Like we said, there's pressure on the club. They draft you at 5. They want every minute of you to make sure you're a success. So they'll keep you at this meeting to promote your development. So they're invested in, you have to work for them. So that's pressure.
I think another thing we have to consider, I thought about this during the Essendon saga, when it all ended, was that the fallouts at Essendon for people like James Hurd and, I don't know about Mark Thompson, but certainly David Evans, seems so much worse, and Joe Watson, than for Cronulla. Now, is that a Melbourne thing? Is that because the fishbowl of Melbourne, we've got a senior coach who's paid $1 million, who lives in Toorak, is quite different to a rugby league team?
Well, I think the ramifications...
Cronulla finished pretty quick. They took...
That's right. But also, there was a glare on...
Smart in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they felt... Maybe they felt they wouldn't deal because they had to uphold their heads in Melbourne. I just wonder if it's the fishbowl in Melbourne is pretty potent in AFL football.
Last one before we go, because we've got to get to the news and to Trent Langscale as well. There's a call that came through from Carol. I think it's an interesting question. Has Jake or Scott ever written a piece and in reflection thought, I hope that doesn't hurt the player mentally?
Great question.
I've never thought like that. We used to, back in the day, you'd do a big piece and you'd be worried they'd play bad and you'd get blamed for it. That was always media street type. No, I think criticism of players is part of our gig. I don't think I've ever written something that I've been worried about the health of a player because of it.
One I remember, and I know the player was really pissed off, was Corey McKernan, actually, when he went through a form slump and... I know he wasn't happy because I saw him later. He told me, and a couple of his friends I know told me that was one because he was a guy who had mercurial talent who could sort of.
But what was the story?
Matthew Richardson. I wrote one, so I enjoyed the direct feedback that Matthew Richardson, who's a fantastic guy, I don't think you'd meet a better person in footy, rang me because I pulled out a stat and I'd spoken to someone and Richmond had won, I think, slightly more games without him than with him or something, which was very misleading. Maybe it was a bad sample. And he rang me and he said, look, you know, he said a few things. I won't go into ins and outs. But it wasn't angry either. He's such a decent person. He just sort of said, look, I don't agree. Here are the reasons.
But do you think...
mental health, though.
More the point
no, I probably like, wasn't...
Gee, if I write this, this could have an impact on this person.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so, because I don't think it's in your mind.
Is that going to Is that going
to
happen?
That'll probably happen now, though, to someone. Yeah. I mean, okay. It's probably a bit... We're probably a little bit like the players going after the ball. It's see the story, get the story. Yeah. See ball, get ball. I think we're a bit like that. But Carol asks a fantastic question. Because maybe that's where it's going.
Well, you can't get to the point where you can't criticise performance.
That's right.
You paid X amount. You've got to be open to criticism. It's whether you can build for it. And we come back to.
I think the other thing is money coming into footy brings all this in a way that it didn't. When players were part-time and they were plumbers and teachers, etc., there wasn't anything like the pressure on their playing performance that there is now as players on an average.
It's a big challenge.
Mm. Yep. Thanks for coming in this week, Jake. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
We'll catch up again soon.
Outstanding.
Jake Nile from Fox's...